Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, I want to share with you a very familiar portion of Scripture about a very familiar subject, one in which many people hear and continue to hear. But one of these days, it's going to happen.
Yes, amen.
You know, this week, Brother Rick was talking about in his teaching today, he was talking about teaching us about several things, and he brought up just a week or two ago, we had a situation where a plane went down with several people that was from, well, all the people were from Pulaski County, and four of them died tragically, suddenly. Last thing they thought about when they went on the hunting trip was that they were going to die and go out and meet God. What decisions they'd made, they had made. Whatever they were, they were. When you cross that line and death finds you, there's no turning back.
That's right. Amen.
There's no taking time. Some people says, well, when that happens, my time comes, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But I can tell you from working in the field of emergency medicine for 25 years, very few people knows it's coming until it's come and gone.
Right.
And life can leave you in a heartbeat. And this week we had, you know, the news every week. We have different ones that has fame, and regardless of how they've gotten their fame, they make the news that they've died and they've gone on. I think this week, Mel Tillis, those of you, some of the older ones who know Mel Tillis, I think he died. Some of the not so old ones, but fairly old, remember David Cassidy. I remember when David Cassidy used to be on all the teen magazines, and he had the highest popularity. The Partridge Family was one of the popular shows, and he was riding high. I mean, he was a heartthrob for all the girls back then, and he ended up his life destroying with drugs and alcohol and issues like that in his life, and struggled with those all during the last several years of his life. Also, there was another person that made himself famous by killing several or being a part of that, Charles Manson, this week. And I know Chris, she puts something on Facebook or something, and she'll get different replies about it. And she had just made a comment about how much publicity that they will give him in his death and how many good people die that they never mention a word about. And someone took that to say that she was saying she was glad that he died and went to hell and was kind of condemning her or others for that. And that was not what she was saying at all. It's a tragedy when anybody dies and goes to hell. It's a tragedy when anybody dies without Christ. It's a tragedy when you see people, their life has been messed up. And you look at his life and you follow his life and just see. And it's a tragedy from the way that he was brought into the world and the way that his parents did him and those that he knew and what his mother did and many things. You know, we have some that's passed through the school over here. We've had some that their parents had even sold them. And sold them for sex at 2 and 3 years old. Now, how tragic is that? And how hard is that to overcome in your life? But look and begin reading with me this morning, if you would, in Matthew chapter 24. In verse number 29, the Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, let me say something about the coming of the Son of God. The Bible teaches that there would be two comings. The next thing in the prophetic event of the calendar that the world is waiting on is what we call the rapture. Even though the word rapture is not used in the Bible, it is a catching away of the saints. All those who are saved, at some given time, Jesus is going to come in the clouds. There's going to be a trump. And there's going to be a voice. And all those who are saved are going to go meet him in the air. The Bible says the dead shall rise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet him together in the air. Then the tribulation will come. After the tribulation, Jesus will come, and he will be seen of all the earth. The tribes, the Bible says here, will mourn when they see his coming. But what I want to share with you is I want to share with you a few thoughts about his coming. Some people say, well, I get tired of hearing it preached that he's coming. He's not come yet. No, but he's coming.
Amen.
And when he's coming, there's going to be some things that's going to happen. You need to understand a couple things. We have the promise of his return, and his word shall not ever fail. He is coming. You also have a prize for those who are prepared for his coming. Those who are ready, it's going to be a glorious time. It is not nothing to fear, but something to look forward to when we're going to be called out and we're going to be called away. But there's going to be a prize for those who procrastinate and puts off. I want to share with you several things, and I want to think about. We talk about sometimes the signs of the times. I could go into a lot of signs, but Jesus here tells us one great sign that you need to understand. When you look here, he talks about a parable in verse number 32, and it's a parable of a fig tree. This parable is very significant. The fig tree in the Bible always represents Israel. The parable speaks of the time when Israel will once again come together as a nation. We know in 1948 that Israel came together as a nation. They were able to become a nation again. And why is that prominent? Because the Bible says here that a generation would not pass until we would begin to see signs. All these signs that was given of his coming. Now, if you check a generation sometimes, and most people believe that a generation in the Bible is around 40 years. That means in the late 80s or 90s of the generation time in which we live, we would begin to see things changing in such a rapid manner that we would never have recognized or never would have thought that they would change. We would see sexual immorality change. We would see the whole concept of depravity of sexual things happening. Think about it right now. It's a crying shame. Everywhere we turn, I mean, sexual depravity. You can't even allow your kids to go out and have any in comfort and having them alone, afraid some perversion or perverted person will grab them up and take them and do all kinds of things. We have all kinds of perverted sexual things going on all around us. It's gotten to be so sad, and even this country has gotten where it accepts certain things that the Bible condemns wholeheartedly, and it's because we're living in a time in which we've seen the signs come upon us. It's come upon us in such a rapid speed that we would never thought. The evil that we see, sometimes someone says something is evil and people makes fun of them. But there are some things that's happening around us as just pure evil. And you see the evil in their heart, and you see the evil in their life. People killing one another. You know, I used to live in Chicago. And, you know, they talk about all this gun control and how gun laws and all this will make us safer. And they've got one of the strictest gun laws there is. And there's killing. I saw where there was 5 killed just this weekend there. Every single day they're killed. Life means nothing there. They'll kill somebody over a pair of shoes. They'll kill somebody over a nickel. They'll kill somebody over anything. And it means nothing to kill somebody because life means nothing anymore. We see evil abounding. Every time we pick up the paper, we read. And as I was talking about, we don't have to look far. We just look all around us. It's tragedy all around us. But we look at the headlines and we recognize that these things are happening all around us. And so therefore we see the lawlessness. And the Bible teaches us that we're going to see spiritual signs. And truly we see spiritual signs. No longer are most people preaching the word. No longer does people want to hear the word preached. People want to hear something that entertains. They don't want to think about hell. They don't want to think about the fact that Jesus is coming back. And they try to find other things that's more comforting to the ears. But my friend, all the preaching in the world will not change the fact that there's a hell for those who die without Christ. We need to keep preaching. We need to keep warning. Because, you know, I was thinking about, as Brother Rick was talking about that plane crash, I didn't know. I just knew one or two of them just by name. Didn't know anything about them. But I know this, that if any one of the 4 was not saved, they're in hell today. I know this, that all those that died during this week, whether it was Mel Tillis, whether it was David Cassidy, whether it was Charles Manson, if they died without Christ in hell right now, they understand there is a hell. They understand that it is real. And they understand that they should have listened to all the warnings and how they would love to be able to come back and hear preaching. But this morning, I want to share a couple things with you. First of all, I want you to know the Bible says that we can see because it would be as in the days of Noah. I want to show you just a couple things that Noah had. Keep your finger there and go, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible tells us that during the days of Noah, that there was Noah was there, and in chapter 2, look if you would in verse 5. And by the way, verse 4 and 5 goes together. If you ever study that out, it's an interesting study because 4 and 5 goes together just like 6 and 7 goes together with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." There was angels that sinned during the days of Noah, and they were cast, and they were bound in chains, and they're in chains today. And the Bible says in verse 5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." I want you to understand that they had a preacher during those days. They had someone who tried to preach. He preached Jesus. The ark was a type of Jesus. The ark was a type of salvation for the world that they could go into. Anyone living in that day could have went into the ark. Noah preached for 120 years. He preached the fact that God was going to destroy the world. He preached that that there was going to be judgment that was going to come upon the world. He preached that if they didn't repent and turn and accept God, that they would be destroyed. And the Bible says that they were without excuse because they had a preacher. My friend, you better be thankful if you got a preacher that tells you the truth. You better be thankful if they tell you the need of being saved. You better be thankful that they don't make excuse and don't make it sound like God's just going to accept you in because you're a good person. There is none good, no, not one.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to die because we were able to save ourselves. He came to die because none of us was able to save ourselves. But he came and he's the top of that ark. Whosoever will come unto him can be saved.
Amen.
If you'll come unto him, you'll be saved. If you do not come, then you'll be like those in the days of Noah. Look, if you would, in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, the Bible says this. The Bible says in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Scoffers mean people who make fun, people who procrastinate. People says it's not going to happen. It's not happened yet. It's not going to happen. Well, I'm sure for 120 years, they said that old kook Noah, he's over there preaching again about the judgment that's going to come upon the earth. That old kook says that if we don't repent, we're going to perish with the world. That old kook has his family working day and night trying to build an ark and says that there's going to be water come from the heavens. Well, that old crazy man, he's over there and he thinks that we ought to listen to him. And we ought to do what he says because he says that God has told him to do these things. Well, you know, in the last days, there's still people saying the same thing. I don't want to hear what the preacher says. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to put it off. All one of these days, Jesus is not coming back. He's not come back yet. The Bible says it's going to be in the last days. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly, now notice this, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, perished. In other words, they had a preacher, but they didn't believe. They had the truth preached, but they didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, when the flood came, they believed. But the problem was, it was too late. When the flood comes, it's too late.
Amen.
And so if you're waiting until the flood comes, my friend, it will be too late. You will perish. When God has closed the door, no man can open that door. And when God closed the door on the ark, there was nobody come in. You know, I was thinking, as Brother Rick was talking about, that plane crash, I don't mean to use it, but it's a good example because it's very close to us. It just happened a week or two ago. Those guys, the last thing on their mind when they left here was going on a hunting trip, having a good time. I'm sure that they thought, man, this is going to be the best time of our life. We're going to go out here. We're going to go hunting. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When we get back, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And they didn't know. When that plane went down and God took their life, the door was shut. Any opportunities they had from that point on was over. They had no hope. If they didn't accept Christ before that plane went down, they can't accept Christ now. My friend, when God shuts your door, there's no hope for you. You better get it while it's open, while God's inviting. Notice this as well, that they send away the day of grace. The Bible says every one of us has an opportunity of being saved. When the Spirit of God is dealing with us, leading us, and bidding us to come, that's the time in which we come.
Amen.
Now, I wrote these things down real quickly. I want to give them to you, and then I'm going to close. But I wrote these things down about when Jesus comes. First of all, you need to understand it's going to be a secret time. Nobody knows. Don't listen and believe everybody knows. By the way, my name, my first name is William. And there was a guy by the name of William Miller. He was the one that started Seventh-day Adventist. Back in 1944, October 22nd, he convinced 200 people that Jesus was coming on that day. They closed their shops down. They walked away from their businesses. And they went up on a mountain waiting for Jesus to show up. Because he said he knew and he had inspiration of God that the day that Jesus was coming back. He was a liar. He didn't know. And even though many of the Seventh Day Adventists still follows me in things he says, he was proven to be a liar. Not only that, there was a guy by the name of Charles Tazzy Russell in 1874. He also claimed that Jesus was coming back in 1874. He started a group called the Jehovah Witnesses. He was found to be a liar too. No man knows the day in which Jesus is coming back. There was a guy by the name of Joseph Smith. He claimed that Jesus was coming back in 1891. He was given and claimed to be given by angels these golden leaves. And he started a group called the Mormons. He was a liar too. Because he doesn't know the day in which Jesus is coming. Wasn't long ago there was a guy by the name of David Koresh down in Texas, Waco, Texas. He claimed that Jesus was coming back in the year 2000. Many of them burned to death in a building there because he had convinced them that Jesus was coming back in the year 2000. He proved to be a liar too. Benny Hinn claimed that he was coming back in 1993. He proved to be a liar because he doesn't know either. There was also a guy by the name of Michael, I can't remember his last name right now, and he claimed not long ago that he was going to come, and he didn't come. There was also a guy that was a NASA engineer, claimed in 1988. The guy who claimed that he was coming a while back was during the lunar moon, and boy, everybody was looking into that because he claimed that Jesus was coming back. Listen, they're all liars because no man knows. None of you know when Jesus is coming, and none of you know when death's going to knock on your door. So first of all, you need to know something about Jesus is coming. It's secret, and only God in heaven knows. And all these people that's come before, and all these people that will come after, that claim that they know, the only thing that the Bible says is that after Israel becomes a nation, a generation will not pass until we see all these signs happening everywhere we're turning. Knowledge will be increased. We find that there will be spiritual signs. There will be physical signs. There will be intellectual signs. The Bible says knowledge shall be increased. You young people don't understand this, but you're living in a time that the signs are so great because you have knowledge that we never even dreamed that we would have. I've told them this before. When I went to college, I got in on some of the computers, the first computers. The first computer that I had in college was as big as that room right there. It was that big. The only thing the computer could tell me is what I put in it. It would give me something out of it. It knew nothing. We didn't even dream that there would be some worldwide web that we could get on and talk all over the world. And in a moment, get any answer of any question that we have all over the world. You are living, and those are signs that's come in this generation. There's political signs. There's signs of church as well that we find. But not only will it be secretly, it will come suddenly. When it happens, the Bible says that Jesus, when he comes back, is going to be as a thief in the night. You're not going to know it. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, when I see Jesus coming, I'm going to get right with him. He was a fool. The man's dead right now, and he never got right with him. He was a fool. The Bible says only a fool says in his heart there is no God. My friend, it will be suddenly. It will be secretly. Not only that thing, it will also be a separating event. If you're not ready, the Bible says two will be in the field, one will be taken. Let me let you in on a little secret. If you're not saved, you will be left behind. You may say, well, my wife is saved. that will not take you. You will be left behind. You say, well, my parents are saved. They'll not save you. Only if you have made a personal decision for Christ will you be taken. You must be saved. It must be a personal relationship you have with Christ. If not, it will be separating and you will be left, and those who are saved will be taken. I remember one time before I got saved, I'd heard that preaching, and one night I woke up scared. I went in and I peeked in Mom and Dad's bedroom to see if they were still there. I had a dream that Jesus had come back. Now, I wasn't saved at that time. And I thought that he'd come back. I looked and Mom and Dad was still in bed. Wasn't long after that I got saved. And I'm so glad now that I won't have to worry if he comes. If he comes, it will be a sanctifying time for me. If Jesus comes for those of us who are saved, somebody say, well, preacher, I hate to think about Jesus coming because of all those left behind. Listen, if Jesus comes and you're saved, you're going to put away this old flesh. You're not going to be carrying this sin problem anymore. You're going to see Jesus face to face. The Bible says we don't know yet what we will be, but we know this, that when we see him, we shall be like him. It will be a sanctifying time for those of us who are saved. We will be put away all the old sin and all the things that prevents us from going to heaven, and we will have a new body, and we'll be present in heaven.
Amen.
And we will be with the Lord forever and ever. And last but not least, it will be a very sobering time for those who are not saved. There will be things that will happen upon the earth that you'll not understand. The Antichrist will come, and you will believe a lie. You will be deceived. You will follow right along, and the news media will have every excuse in the world for what's going on other than the truth. And you'll believe a lie, be swallowed up. And the Bible says all those during that time that has refused to believe shall be damned. You say, well, preacher, I'll get saved during that time because I've heard all these things. The Bible says that God will send you a strong delusion. And you will not be able to be saved because you will believe a lie. You have squandered your opportunity. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, can I say this in closing? No preacher ever gets any pleasure from ever preaching about hell, about being lost and dying and going to hell. But you know, I don't want to stand and look at God one of these days and God ask me, why did you not tell him? While they had an opportunity to change, why did you not tell them? You say, well, preacher, I just don't like preaching about Jesus coming. You're not going to change it. He's coming. You better be ready. As I said, there will be a prize for those who are prepared. It will be tragic if you're not saved. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you saved? What if one of these times it had been you instead of someone else? Are you ready? You say, preacher, I'm young. A lot of young people die every day. You have no promise of tomorrow. But what you have a promise of is this. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Those that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, preacher, I want to be saved. Then you need to come to Jesus. Would you come this morning? Would you let him have his way? Jesus is that ark as it was in the days of Noah. We're seeing people living. The Bible said they'd be eating and drinking, going on with life. And boy, during this time of holidays, you look at the stores and they're running over. You see the highways running over and people just living life like it's not going to be an end. But the Bible says it'd be just that way, just the same way it was in days of Noah. They was going on with their life, ignoring the preaching, ignoring the opportunity, until God closed the door. Would you come while God may have that door open for you? You say, preacher, when shall I come? When the Spirit of God bids you to come. He'll let you know when to come, and when he bids you that you need to come, that's the time you step out and come. And Jesus promises you this. If you'll come unto him, he will no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you come to him this morning? As we stand, get a song of invitation, Brother Porter.